If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the Leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.
Hey, this is Craig, Cigar Craig Podcast, coming to you with episode 13. I know it's been a while. Hey, I've been busy. We've all been busy. But I wanted to make sure I had something good to bring to you with episode 13. So I managed to sit down with Steve Sacco, Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, and had a little chat with him, so here it is, without further ado, a few minutes with Steve Sacco, followed by a couple minutes with Dave Lafferty. So enjoy the discussion. All right, Cigar Craig Podcast, I forget what number, it's been a while since I've done one. So I'm here at Famous Smoke Shop, wrapping up an event here with Steve Sacco. This was an interesting event with donuts.
Yeah, donuts and cigars and Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
It would have been a great event had I not been on this crazy weight loss challenge bet I got going with Abe and Nimish Desai. It was kind of tough to watch everyone eat all those donuts because they looked pretty spectacular.
Yeah, they were pretty good. I only partook in the donuts and cigars, of course, but people seemed to take to the booze, too. I was happy to share mine with whoever wanted it. It was fine.
There were plenty of willing victims, too. There's always someone willing to jump on the booze grenade.
Didn't really have any problem getting rid of it, and the coffee was good. But, it was fun. A lot of great people here, and it's fun to make a trip up to see you whenever you're in town. It's not freaking enough. I recently commented that I hate your events because I never get to just hang out with you and shoot the shit. So I'm stealing you for a bit to sit down and shoot the shit.
You know, there's never enough time anymore for anything.
Right.
Not enough time for your friends. There's not enough time for your family.
Yep.
It's a little crazy. And, you know, but I gotta say, this was a pretty laid-back event today. I think most of the people, it was limited to 40 people, and they sold it out, and most of the people here today are people that that I knew them, met them multiple times. So it wasn't like one of those like crazy fanboy events,
right?
Where you're like signing a lot of boxes and all that. I mean, it was a good event. You know, store's really happy. Everybody had a great time. But it was more like kind of a get together with just old friends. So yeah. It was a nice way to waste a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So this is interesting. I thought about this morning. Today's March 31st, and you probably won't remember this, but 22 years ago.
Oh my God!
on March 31st.
Okay.
You for the first time in Las Vegas.
Wow! Has it been that many years?
It has.
22 years.
Remember running into you in front of Cleopatra's barge in Caesar's Palace, and I think I helped you carry a couple boxes or something.
Right. It's hard to believe that 22 years have blinked by. You know what's so depressing about that? I don't know if I'm going to be around 22 years from now.
No, come on.
I mean, but really, when you think about it, that's just... It almost... Time just... Remember when you were a kid? And just summer seemed to last, school year seemed to last forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd have those slow dog days of summer.
I know,
and they would
years
stretch.
By like that. Right?
And now, you know, 22 years, they just blink by.
Yeah, we were in our 30s and our kids were young.
Yeah.
We were a lot thinner, maybe.
Well, I wasn't, but you were.
Yeah, you were.
You were. You're thin now, though.
You had.
I was thinner
hair.
Then, yeah. Well, I had dark hair on the edges.
Yeah, you had a dark beard.
I haven't had hair on top since I was like 20.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you had dark hair around the sides.
Yeah.
Dark beard.
Yeah.
That was we were there for the International Cigar Exposition, I guess. We were there with,
The ice show.
Yeah, the ice show.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was the first time I ever saw Rocky Patel trying to sell cigars.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was the first time. I remember there was a crazy guy from, what was that brand? It was the one that was before Acid. Lars Teton.
Oh, yeah, Lars.
Right. He was there in a dress and cowboy boots trying to sell cigars.
Yeah.
That's where I first saw that. Remember during the boom, they had that talking stuffed cigar? They used to say cranky sayings. You'd pull it straight.
Yeah,
and it would say something. I think it was called like Mr. Cigar or something. Right. Yeah. Man, 22 years.
I think you had the Cigar Nexus booth. There.
You're right. We had a booth.
You had a booth of the Cigar Nexus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the point of that was. Yeah. Now that I look back on it.
I think it was a point to get everybody there to have a big party for 3 days, right?
Yeah. We had a suite. Sammy Davis Jr. suite.
And that was like the first time I went out there alone and didn't know anybody and met all these guys from the Usenet group. And,
but you know what? That was the way it was then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, it isn't now. You know, now with social media, you have photos.
Yep.
And you have videos.
We didn't know anybody by face.
Back then, we were communicating through essentially what was very similar to Reddit in some way, but cruder. Mm. So you really had no sense as to what anyone looked like or sounded like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you didn't know people by their username. You know?
Right.
Oh, you're
and most
John
people,
Doe
right. And most people didn't use their real names.
Right.
I was one of the, there were a few of us that did.
Yeah.
You know, I always used my real name, which now I kind of regret.
Yeah.
Because now you can actually go back and look at stuff that I wrote 25 mm-hmm. years ago. And some of it's so incredibly stupid.
Yeah, I've tossed around the idea of posting a couple of stories you wrote with your permission.
Yeah, there were some good stories. Yeah. Heck, you know what? I should...
Dig up a few of those.
We wrote so much. Because that was the only means in which we communicated.
Right.
Because without pictures, the words were the only way it worked. And look, I've always enjoyed writing. I've never written a book. I don't know that I ever could, but just the act of writing, I don't know, I've always enjoyed communicating.
You could probably take the sum of all of what you've written and assemble it into a book. Articles and whatnot.
Yeah, but, probably. It would be a lot of work to do that.
You get somebody to do it.
And that's the smart thing.
You get some of your old Usenet posts, the 1-800-CIGAR-ME.
You know, Hoya de Nicaragua wrote a book for their 50th anniversary.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But they hired, you know, a professional writer to do the book. And I was honored. They asked me to write the foreword for the book.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I really struggled writing that foreword. It took me a long, long time. Because it's different. When you write stuff online, you're just cat. Like, I pretty much write the way I talk.
Oh, yeah, I do that too. Yeah.
Whereas.
You do it organically. Right,
you're just doing it organically. But, you know, I really wanted to write something that sounded a lot smarter than me.
Right.
For their forward. And I gotta admit, it was a bit of a chore to get it done. I mean, I'm happy with the end result, but I don't know. I think writing a book, I think the perfectionist in me. I actually started writing a book, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about, I probably have a good 70% of it written.
Wow.
But it'll never be good enough.
No.
It's you.
It'll
never be good enough. Yeah, it's just so, so, so difficult. But, yeah, 22 years.
I know, I was thinking about
22 years would be about, let me think about this. What's the math on that? So if I'm smoking, let's say 10 cigars a day, that's 3,600 cigars a year. So that's 36. Yeah, that's like 70,000 cigars ago. Yeah, 70,000 cigars ago.
The output of some larger factory.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and there's some people that we met that time that we still know and talk to, right?
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, I'm really a miserable friend. I'm always so busy that I never, like, you know, it's really weird. I had dinner 2 weeks ago with someone that I knew in high school.
Wow. Yeah.
And literally, that's the first person that I think I have talked to that I went to high school together since I left high school.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's wow. just, I don't know why. I've never, I don't know. I don't know why that is. It's just, I never seem to, I think part of it is I'm just always so on the go.
Right.
And so busy, you know. It's, I've known a lot of great people. A lot of people I consider good friends, but am I really super, super close? But that's entirely my fault, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's certainly not their fault. Or maybe they're just smart and they know better. I don't know. So.
Yeah, you gotta, sometimes it's on the other people to keep in touch, you know, and it's not all, not all you.
It's funny, I called my dad the other day and he goes, "Oh, wow, you're calling me." Right? And the first thing I said, well, it's not like you called me either, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a two-way street. The phone does work both directions.
Exactly.
It's always,
so. Absolutely.
So this is a cigar blog podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, I do one every now and then.
Yeah, no problem.
But anything cigar you want to ask me?
Well, you want to talk about anything? You want to talk about that little tasty treat you...
No, we were just. What Craig's talking about is, I have a cigar that it really just started off as a let's see what we can do, and it's basically, it's very similar to some cigars I've done in the past, where we've taken one of the ultra premium brands, and then you take the table trimmings from it, you know, because it's perfectly great tobacco, you end up making it into a mixed fill / short fill style cigar. And you can do it economically because all of the materials have been expressed against the primary brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing around as we are making more of my cigars. It's starting to generate a lot more table trimmings. And rather than get scraped to go in the factories overall table trimmings, to make whatever JR alternatives or something, that we could keep that separate. And then make a quarter trip a style cigar out of just that. So it's called Polpetta. Polpetta is the Italian word for meatball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a meatball. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of different things put together. And so not quite sure what we're gonna do with it yet. I'm toying around with making it an event only kind of product.
Right.
We're still a ways away from that really becoming a full reality, but it probably something will happen this year, I think, with it.
That's quite tasty.
Yeah. Well, look, it's all very good tobaccos.
Sure.
So, there's no reason for it not to be tasty.
Yeah.
It's just a question of getting the construction in a way that it smokes like a long fill cigar, which I think we may be there already.
Yeah.
But I want to go through a few more. Because it's important that you because you don't want little bits getting into your mouth when you smoke it.
Yeah,
you don't want the ash to...
It didn't seem at all like a short filler cigar.
Right, well, but the generation before, it was depth. You would have all sorts of things. So, we keep tweaking it to get it right. The other thing, too, is, you want the ash. Like, the ash, you're never going to get those Instagram 3-inch ashes. Yeah. But you want to be able to hold at least an ash of, three-quarters of an inch, an inch on it. And we seem to be over that, too. So I think we're very close to being able to wrap it up.
You said that was only a week old, too.
The one we smoked was just literally made, today's Friday. It was Friday before.
Sunday.
So it's today's Sunday.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, right.
This is why I'm going so fast.
Yeah.
So, it's been, about 10 days, 9, 10 days old. So... Yeah, so that's interesting. It's Connecticut broadleaf. I would call it. Is it full body? It's probably like medium fuller. It's like a little bit more than medium full.
Yeah.
It's right around there.
Yeah,
somewhere like maybe a 7 or an 8, I think, on a 10-point strength scale.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
That started out pretty on the aggressive side. For me, it started out in a mellowed out a little bit. The first couple puffs were...
We had a couple other new cigars today at the event. Did you get Which one did you get?
I got the Maduro.
You took the Maduro.
And I made a, maybe that was an error in judgment or a snap decision on my part because I lean that way. But,
all right. Well, the Maduro really isn't anything. The Maduro one was, you know, as we were making the last batch of unicorns, even though we had so carefully sorted the wrapper for it, there was still some wrapper that once it was on the table, Chipita didn't like it. So she set it aside. So I ended up with like enough wrapper to make like an additional 800 cigars. So basically, I just had the factory at Hoya. I said, look, just start putting them on Sobre Mesa, Todos los Dias, you know, Sin Compromiso, just to see what it, no blending, no, hey, does this work? Just as a total look. The thing is, the wrapper's already, it's already prepped when it hits the table.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's been wetted, it's been prepped. You have to use it or you throw it in the trash.
Right.
So as they were getting these pieces of wrapper, I'm like, well, they're currently making Todos los Dias. They're currently making Sobre Mesa. They're currently making Sin Compromiso. Just use it on those. So I had a few cigars made with all those. So the one you got was Todos los Dias with the broadleaf on it. Mm-hmm. And so far, of the three, the one with the Todos los Dias with the broadleaf, I think actually works really, really well without needing, yeah. So I think you're going to really like the cigar. It's a heavy cigar. It's a strong cigar, obviously, because it's Todos los Dias. But I think it really worked well. The ones that I've had so far that were just where we passed that wrapper on Sobre Mesa, not so much so. And on Sin Compromiso, I thought it would really do well on Sin Compromiso, but it kind of seems to take some of the creaminess out of it. And so it didn't really, it didn't float my boat right off the bat. So I think to use the broadleaf on those two blends would require some real tweaking to make it work better with it. Where with the Todos los Dias, at least in the Toro size, I was really pleased with how that tastes. And then the other cigar that we had today was we had the new Sobre Mesa Brulee, which we'll be launching at the trade show. And it's a, I would say it's mild to medium.
Okay.
And it's, you know, I don't smoke a lot of Connecticut Shade cigars, but I used to. You know, in the late 80s, early 90s, I mean, I smoked Romeo and Julieta and Monte Cristo and Macanudos. I mean, those were a lot of the cigars I cut my teeth on. And I don't know why. The ones today don't strike me as being the same.
Right.
And I don't know that it isn't that they're the same. But I don't know. I just remember them being a little creamier, a little more dense, a little less bitter, a little less acrid. And that may just be the fact that I smoke so many heavier cigars now that I'm just over-smoking them. And so I really wanted to make a Connecticut that reminded me of the experience I used to have when I smoked the Davidoff White Label.
Right.
You know? Because I used to really like the Davidoff White Labels. And for whatever reason, over time, they just, I still think they're amazingly great cigars and well-constructed and unbelievably consistent. But I don't find myself reaching for one the way I would have used to. And so I wanted to see if I could try to recapture that. And the other thing I wanted to do, too, is because so many of the Connecticut Shade cigars released today, there's kind of this trend to make not your father's Connecticut.
Right.
Where, you know, there's a lot of new Connecticut cigars coming out, but they're actually kind of strong, spicy cigars
right. That
have Connecticut Shade on them. And that doesn't even make sense to me because the thing that Connecticut Shade wrapper gives you is it gives you this kind of, is a slight touch of bitterness to it, but there's also a very soft aroma, and there's this underlying kind of nuttiness that's almost kind of like an almond-like sensation. And when you use it on the stronger blends, you lose that characteristic,
right. That
you know, that buttery, almondy kind of thing that you can get out of Connecticut Shade wrapper. So to me, putting Connecticut Shade on a strong cigar, it almost seems like it's a waste of a wrapper.
Right.
It ends up being very blonde, but look, there's a lot of people that, and you notice when you talk to the people that smoke those Connecticuts, they always say, oh, it's good for Connecticut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because most of those guys that gravitate towards those spicier kind of style, they tend to smoke spicier, darker, heavier cigars. But when you see the guys that really smoke Connecticut, they really want to smoke the milder, smoother, you know, Ashton style of Connecticut. So I want to try to make something that would appeal for that consumer. And also to try to recapture the way Connecticut used to make me feel, too. And so I really, it's kind of weird. I'm actually really jazzed about the blend.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, normally you'd think I'd be much more jazzed about something that's much more strong and robust. But I think I'm jazzed about this one because it's so different than anything I've ever made before.
Right.
So I'm interested. Look, we'll see what the market thinks of it. And in the end, you know, it's going to be the guy that currently smokes Davidoff and Ashton cabinets and, you know, Diamond Crowns and those cigars. It's going to depend on what they think of it, you know, under Crown Shade. And
right.
So, you know, they're going to be the ultimate arbiters of whether it's good or bad. But I think they're going to be very pleased when they try it.
I look forward to that one. Good, going back to the old, like you said, back to the old Connecticut shades, the way they used to be, the milder, creamier, nuttier. Yeah.
But are they just as mild and creamy and nutty, but I just oversmoke them now because they're just too mild? I mean,
yeah, that's what I find.
Am I ruining the cigar?
I find myself doing that too, and because you don't get enough flavor out of it.
You don't get enough flavor out of it, so you kind of like force it along.
Okay.
Like you over puff it. You don't do it intentionally, you do it almost subconsciously.
Right.
You just end up drawing faster, drawing more, puffing more, because it's not giving you enough flavor for what you've gotten used to.
I've done that many times. Many times. Then you get a hot, bitter mess, and
it's unenjoyable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. The other thing, too, though, even with this Connecticut blend, the one thing I wasn't able to overcome is it doesn't, you know, it's just how most Connecticut cigars, even the really, really good ones, you get to about the band, and that's kind of where they kind of just stop.
Yeah.
And this is true of this one, too.
Hmm.
You know, is it more nubbable than the others? Yes. But would I say it's a very nubbable cigar? No. It's just the nature of the way that wrapper is when it gets so close to you that it's almost impossible to get 100% of the bitterness out of it.
Right.
You know? So that's the only thing. But I'm going to be very interested to see what people think. I'm excited. I think they're going to find it unique. Whether they're going to buy it or not, that'll be a separate
issue.
Obviously,
that's an Ecuador.
That's Ecuador, Connecticut, right? Yeah. Not Connecticut, Connecticut. Right. Yeah, the Connecticut, you know, the big companies, they own their own farms.
Right.
You know, so General and Altadis have their own farms for it. So you really can't get anything there.
Right.
The amount of independent farmers that still grow Connecticut shade is almost nil.
Right.
And the truth is, the quality of what's in the independent market really isn't that good.
Right.
And there's just too little of it at the high quality. And another issue, too, is going back to that bitterness issue, Connecticut is naturally far more bitter than Ecuador, Connecticut. Ecuador, Connecticut, it tends to hold up to the heat much better. So you don't get that same kind of a almost acridness that you can get out of a lot of Connecticut grown Connecticut. So yeah, it's an Ecuador Connecticut. It's very confusing because it's not grade one.
Hmm.
Okay. But when you Ecuador Connecticut, the way it's graded out, the best tobacco actually ends up in grades 2 and 3.
Hmm.
Yeah, because the way Ecuador Connecticut is graded out, the grade one almost always has a little bit of a greenish hue to it.
Okay.
So actually the best looking and the best smoking Connecticuts are actually in the grades 2 and the grades 3. But you know, I'm going to tell someone, oh, well, this is a grade 2 wrapper. It doesn't sound very appealing to someone that isn't familiar with the tobacco. So you want to say, oh, it's top grade.
Right.
But the reality is in Ecuador, Connecticut, grades 2, grade 3, from a factory perspective, from a tobacco perspective, are actually better than the grade one.
Right.
You know, the grade one is much more pristine, but it has this just kind of little bit of a green hint or hue to it.
Right.
So, in fact, sometimes we call it GW for green wrapper, whereas, so like this okay, would be grade two BW for brown wrapper, even though it's still that connected blonde, shade, yeah. blonde right. kind of color. So
nice. And we do have a Candela Lancero to look forward to.
You keep looking.
And that's going to be the BMIC.
Yeah, that would definitely be the BMIC. Yeah. Yeah, I can't even imagine how horrific that'll be. Yeah.
People can go to the
I'm gonna wait. Look,
BMIC.
I will have I will do a Candela, but I want to wait. You know, I just went through the misery of doing the Lancero. You know, so. And
I just actually wrote about my Lancero experience today.
Yeah?
And,
my Lancero or just a Lancero?
No, your Lancero.
Oh. Yeah. What'd you think? Good, bad?
I liked the flavor. I was just annoyed with the smoking experience, and a lot of that might have been my own fault.
What do you mean?
Well, it was... I had to baby it and just the nature of the Lancero.
Yeah, it's a Lancero. That's why I'm anti-Lancero. It's just not an appealing shape to me.
I like Lanceros. The time and circumstance that I smoked it under maybe wasn't perfect, and it burned a little faster than I wanted it to, and I just had to take more time with it, and it was just not as satisfying as I would have liked. And the taste was phenomenal. I liked how it started off kind of creamy and mild and then built up and got spicy at the halfway point. And the flavor was really entertaining.
It's okay. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
It left me lacking. And I, you know,
it's a Lancero. You've
always said, you know,
been a Lancero that I didn't feel wouldn't be better as a Lonsdale.
Yeah.
Period.
You know, I didn't think I'd hurt your feelings telling you I didn't, you know, blow my socks off. But
I can tell you right now.
I have a couple more. I'll smoke them another time under better circumstances.
The Candela is going to be a real challenge, though, because Candela, I don't know that I've ever smoked a Candela cigar I like.
Yeah.
Ever in my whole life. I don't even know if it's possible
there's been
to
a few
make.
I've liked.
Camacho
had one. Before, you know, the
pre-Davidoff purchase
that I enjoyed. Again,
was Wasabi a Candela?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I ever smoked that, though.
Yeah, but see, Skips is good, but it's not really a Candela.
Camacho might fall into that same category, right?
I mean, you got the Candela mixed with the other wrapper.
Right.
So
over top of it.
Right, you just got a little Candela. Yeah. So you're not getting that full on Candela flavor.
It's not like Candela or,
It's not like a pickle juice or a Fuente Candela or something like that.
Candela,
So I don't know if it's possible to
it's kind of a change of pace kind of thing, a palate refresher every now and then.
But the thing is, Candelas taste just like they look. They taste green.
Yeah.
They taste hay like. They taste cut grassy.
Yep.
They're grassy kind of style of smoke. And I don't know that it's possible to overcome that. To be honest with you, it'll be a challenge if I can make anything smokable.
You're telling me right now on the record it won't be a Lancero.
No, it will not be a Lancero. No, I don't think so. Let me say this.
If it worked in that shape, you'd make it, though.
No, I'm not making another Lancero. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Lancero's a dud deal.
I'll leave you the hell alone.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, I'm going to try and make it to the trade show this year. I don't know what the plan is yet. I haven't made any plans, but depending on time off and whether I can... work it out.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
What happens.
You know, we're returning back to the Sands this year.
Yep.
So that'll make a lot of retailers happy.
Yeah, but the dates don't matter.
The dates are really rough this year. Yeah. It's like literally right before the 4th of July.
Right.
It's the weekend before the 4th of July, so the dates are... The dates, like, I'll be flying home the 4th of July.
Right.
The dates are a little rough. The IPCPR says it was the only time frame they could get. I'm going to take them at their word.
Right.
You know, because I can't imagine them wanting to do those dates. But
I know, right?
Everybody wanted to go back to the Sands. Well, not every. I was happy, actually, at the Las Vegas Convention Center. But I don't think that most of the retailers were.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the location was...
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah, look, you know, being at the Sands, the problem was the sister hotel, the convention center, just wasn't a really nice hotel. And it wasn't like, oh, wow, it isn't a super swanky hotel. It was really... That hotel is a pretty beat hotel. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So
I stayed there.
Oh, you did? Yeah. See, I didn't. I knew better.
Yeah,
because yeah, 15 years ago, that hotel was...
I was alone.
It was run down.
I was alone. I was by myself, so it was tolerable. If I'd have, you know, taken my wife, it would have been a different story. But
right. I know a lot of people had bad experiences with the rooms there.
I didn't have...
No, but the other end of the spectrum is, you know, this year we'll be back at the Sands.
Right.
And look, the Venetian, it's not...
There's a lot of nice places.
The Venetian is going to cost, you know, more than double to stay at the Venetian than it costs to stay at the other hotel that nobody liked.
But at the Sands Expo Center, there's a lot of... You can stay in the Venetian, but you can also stay at the, you know...
You can stay anywhere.
Anywhere.
Harris, yeah, I mean, look,
you know, there's all kinds of...
I mean, the TI is the most convenient because it's right across the street.
Harris is right next door. You can walk. But a lot of easy, walkable places if you're, you know, say... It's, with the Wynn or whatever, and lots of walkable options. Plus, there's lots of entertainment, right? You know.
Yeah, great restaurants.
Great, yeah.
Good selection of restaurants. Yep. Good bars. Lots it's a better location to do it.
Yep.
I just don't know whether the dates are gonna depress the turnout or not. You know, and as you well know, I mean, you know. The retailers are going to get the deals whether they come to the show or they don't come to the show. That's just the reality of the situation currently.
And people are going to bitch whether it's, you know, whatever the situation
is. Whatever it is.
There's no good.
But, you know, the reason why I like to encourage retailers to come is, you know, it's just part of being part of the industry, the cigar community.
Right.
You know, getting a chance to speak face-to-face with so many other retailers and, you know, so many manufacturers directly, I mean... That in itself has an intrinsic value.
Absolutely.
That can help you, you know, better understand the industry you're in, see what other trends are happening elsewhere, and, you know, and really familiarize yourself with, you know, some of the brands that are really taking off. Because if you don't go to the retail show, you may not realize there's about three or four companies right now that are really making some serious inroads that I think a lot of retailers aren't even aware of because they don't go to the trade show and they're kind of behind the curve. And look, being ahead of the curve, it's going to require you to go to the trade show and see these things and meet these people in person for you to be able to, you know, identify those. And so I think there's definitely value in going.
Oh, for sure.
And I know some tell me, well, social media serves that purpose for me, but you know what?
Yeah, not face-to-face.
It's not the same as face-to-face. It absolutely just isn't.
Yeah, you got to see people. You got to shake hands. You got to talk to people, for sure. Awesome.
Well, it's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
You know, it's good to see you again.
Man.
Yeah, 22 years.
I know, right? We get to finally sit down and shoot the shit a little bit.
A little tiny bit. Yeah.
Finally, after 22
years, right?
Years.
15 minutes. Well, give my love to your wife.
Absolutely. So I just got done talking to your boss.
Must have been interesting.
Yeah, we had a good chat. You know, I haven't sat down and talked to Steve in a long time.
He is definitely a wealth of knowledge.
Absolutely. So I'm here with Dave Lafferty, the Vice President of Sales.
Vice President of Sales of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be over here.
Yeah. So what's new, shaking, and happening for you? What's your Your territory for me, is obviously the whole country, right?
Pretty much. My territory is the United States. Well, United States focus, but living just outside of New York City, concentrating and sort of working locally with my old stomping ground. I spent 11 years working the Northeast Corridor, New England territory between my days with Drew Estate for 11 years and Nat Sherman for 9 months, brief period of time before coming on over here. And with Dunbarton, we've got some brokers in the western half of the United States and down in Florida, but the eastern seaboard is uncovered.
It's all you.
And it's kind of all me, so it's nice to be back out and see my friends and see the people that I've...
You know everybody.
Yeah, built the relationships over the years. It's a great area to be in. It's a good cigar-smoking culture through that territory. And across the United States, I've had a great time meeting a lot of different people, but being in your home area like this is, and just built up over such a period of time, it's really great to be back. And being with Steve and Cindy, they're phenomenal people.
You have a lot of advantages in that you've worked for Steve before for a long time.
Yeah, we've worked together and been very good friends. Tell the story about how my older granddaughter, she'll be 7 in April, and when she was born, when she came home from the hospital,
7-year-old granddaughter.
It's the best.
It's amazing.
When she came home from the hospital, Steve and Cindy actually bought her outfit that she came home in. When I got remarried 3 years ago, I didn't have a lot of people. On my side. Steve and Cindy were at my wedding, so they've been friends of mine for a very long time.
Sure.
I've got the utmost respect for them. They're just really great, honest people. So I'm thrilled to be here. It's just such a small family type business. There's only 5 of us.
Yeah,
you know, it's a small tight knit group, which is outstanding. It's a nice place to be.
That's awesome. And we've known each other for quite a while.
Quite a bit. We're going on a decade now, if not more.
Maybe 2011, I think. Maybe 10 or 11.
Could have been,
something like that.
One day blends into the next sometimes.
Yeah, I know, right? I was just talking to Steve. It was 22 years ago today, as a matter of fact, that we met face-to-face for the first time. We talked on the phone and communicated prior to that. But, 22 years. But
in the blink of an eye.
Just like that, right? So, we've known each other quite a while in the grand scheme of things. And, so I asked you earlier, and you always smoke. Every time I met you, you handed me a Corona Viva. and I asked
my
you,
go-to.
Out of curiosity, what's your new go-to? So that's what I wanted to ask you. That was...
The Todos Los Dias Thick Lonsdale.
Right.
It actually, as luck would have it, it's about the same size as the Corona Viva. It's a 46 ring gauge.
Yeah.
Nicaraguan Puro, and it's got a bit more oomph to it.
Yeah.
So it's got that pop that I enjoy quite a bit. I enjoy everything across the lines, the different brands there are, without sounding like too much of a total shill salesman in saying that, but it's very nice. I haven't found anything yet. I've had some that I like more than others, or others that maybe not in my rotation right now. More of the time, it's still cold here.
Sure,
there's still snow on the grounds up here in this Northeast territory. So having something a little bit smaller
and
smaller, thinner ring gauge, that 30, 45 minute, less than an hour type of smoke has been what I've been, focusing more of my time on without freezing myself out.
Sure.
But that's pretty much where I go to the Todos Los Dias in the thick Lonsdale. And I love the little pequeño in the Mi Carita, that Connecticut Broadleaf's out of this world. Even the Gordita, I thought I made a mistake when I looked at it on it's a 48 ring gauge. Usually when you hear somebody talk about a Gordita, Gordito, it's a 60 ring gauge. So
right.
I looked and... Oh, it's a nice little, almost like a half Churchill size. Yeah. Delicious.
That is a great cigar.
Those are in my wheelhouse. While Sin Corpo Meso, it's a really good smoke. It's a really great smoke. But we're back ordering on it so much that I kind of feel like a jerk trying to pull it out of the warehouse saying I'm going to take one of these for myself for inventory.
Right.
So I focus more of my smoking on core line products.
Oddly enough, I haven't had a... the production version of Sin Compromiso yet. I've only smoked samples that Steve gave me.
That was very
I'll
nice.
I'll get around to it eventually.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. I think you'll enjoy that smoke as well. We'll get there eventually. There's a lot of things to smoke.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a good time to be a cigar smoker. There's a lot of good things that are out there.
Absolutely.
A lot of interesting blends and just some nice stuff.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thanks very much. Appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Oh, Craig, thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Cigar Craig podcast. Please visit CigarCraig.com for some news and general cigar nonsense. Feel free to leave your comments and suggestions. That's all for today. Until the next time, I'm Cigar Craig.
If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.